The moment you're in the hate game...
I suggest you leave now, before the Crusades really start.
But also, how is hate the Muslims better than hate the Christians or hate the Jews?
It's the same.
With pigs in our hands and Jesus in our hearts.
Islam problem, as people put it, or the Muslim problem, has been massively overstated.
Well, that's an op.
Here's your kryptonite, Muslims.
Jesus, he didn't eat pork.
No, he didn't eat pork.
And from a biblical standpoint, when you read Leviticus 11, 7 through 8, here's what it says.
Puts his life on the line.
Ahmed al-Ahmed. He saved my life and my four-year-old's life.
Jihad, all the other Islamists, that are there.
There is now a jihad.
I was Christian my entire life.
Guys, what would happen to this man?
The FBI would be visiting him.
We got Pastor Bob here. When you hear this,
here's what I call him.
What?
This is the Dean Show.
Salaam alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. And we have not one, two, but three special guests. And we're going to talk about the anti-Christian individual, anti-constitution individual. But before that, we're going to get into and we'll discuss a little bit about the recent developments of this very sad and tragic event that just happened in Bondi Beach, Australia, with my guest, Pastor Bob. We got the two attorneys, top attorneys of Florida, Wilfredo Omar. Greetings of peace. Salaam alaikum. How are you?
Alaikum
salam. Salaam alaikum.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Salaam alaikum.
You know, shalamu alaik in the Bible, how Jesus greeted, shalamu alaik, salaamu alaikum.
Similar,
right? Peace be with you.
Yes, I know.
And we're confirming it with a pastor.
Yes.
How are you guys doing?
Alhamdulillah.
What do you think? We can see this video here. You can see now, we'll show the audience. I don't know if you guys have seen it, where the man jumps in and he disarms. He puts his life on the line.
Ahmed al-Ahmed. He saved my life and my four-year-old's life. If Ahmed al-Ahmed didn't stop that guy, he was coming to do absolute horror. Further horror to what happened. And I can only say thank you to that Muslim brother that came and took it upon himself and risked his own life to save us from further.
Saves lives. What are your guys' thoughts on the whole incident?
I saw a Muslim hero, a Muslim doing what Muslims are called to do, preserve life, love others, protect others. What is challenging is to see the portrayal of him and the perpetrator and how the media treat those different. For the perpetrator of the crime, the religion is important. But suddenly, apparently, for the hero who saved all the dozens of lives, he has been even mischaracterized as being from other religion other than a Muslim that he was.
Mm-hmm.
Very worrisome.
What Ahmed al-Ahmed did, you either love it or you hate it. Lots of people came up, regardless of faith, they supported this brother. One of his biggest donors on the GoFundMe, I believe, was a non-Muslim. But on the other hand, you have people who, they hate to see it. They don't want to see this. They don't want to admit the fact that somebody who they want to frame as inherently dangerous actually saved lives.
Do you feel, Pastor Bob, tell me, do you feel... And it's nice having someone, you know, a Christian here, because I feel we had some Christians show up here and I felt that they were victims of not the Christians who actually came in like yourself, ate food, talked, you know, made the human connection. But we have others who I feel have really been caught up with the hate propaganda and become victims to the hate machine. Do you feel, I mean, because there's so much anti-Islam rhetoric out there, what do you feel when you see these things developing, you know, on the news? And do you have apprehension of Muslims, like these Muslims, they're the, you know, the people we got to fear, we got to get them out of this country, they're going to take over, what are your thoughts? So, you know, just American people that everyday Christians and you.
Yes, personally, I have never had any fear or any animosity towards anyone, any group. It doesn't matter if it's Muslim or Asian, whatever, Jews. I'm Jewish by blood. we are called as a Christian man for many, many, many decades, we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, period. Love God, which Allah, God, is the same God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Commandment number one, commandment number two. Jesus said this, Yeshua said this, and love your neighbor as yourself. So therefore, even on the video, I just saw it yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I'm not a political person. I don't follow a lot of this. And I just happened to come, I call it God incident, it's not a coincidence. I just happened to come across it, and I saw the man, the white T-shirt. Now, I didn't know anything about him or anything. And I'm watching, I'm in my gym, and I'm watching on the phone. The man comes from behind, grabs the gunman in a dark suit, points the rifle down, the man in the white T-shirt, wrestles him to the ground, takes away the rifle. The man starts to run. He's shocked. He didn't know what to do. And then we see a gunman on the bridge, right? I did not know the man in the white T-shirt was a Muslim man. All I saw was a man heroic enough to take action. I'm thinking former military, former police, retired. I don't know a thing. I see men taking a stand, a heroic stand to protect a group of people, in this case, the Jewish people. But I'm watching the video. I had no idea of any facts at all. I'm just neutral watching this and saying, that man, he has, well, in Spanish, he has guts, okay? So yes, this, regardless of faith, race, nationality, culture, we are called to love and be children of light. Muslim, Christian, it's the same truth. Love God, being children of light. Not everyone can do what that person did. I commend him for taking an action like that, putting his life aside to save hundreds. Now, that's highly commendable. So, Muslim man, I applaud you. Any man, I applaud you. Because it's not about if you're Christian or you're Muslim, it's about, do we put on the mindset of God to allow to change our minds and to change our hearts to live a certain moral way?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, those other two that did this crime, are they Muslim? Are they not? Whatever the case, but obviously they would have been, they violated the Islamic injunctions. It's very clear. Taking one in it, chapter 5, verse 32, taking one, it's very clear in the Quran, verbatim word of God Almighty, that taking one innocent life as if you taken all life, saving one innocent life, like Ahmed did, he saved the life, right? So now you will see, and this is where we see this constantly happening. They quickly will jump and say, okay, these guys, Muslim, terrorists, jihad, all the other Islamists, that are there.
There is now a jihad.
Take it on, they politicize this, they take this, run with it, create fear. And but then, you know, and I did a video on this showing that, look, it was interesting. Piers Morgan finally starts saying he's Muslim. Trump came out and he's like, that man did a good job.
Great respect to that man that did that. Yeah.
But if he was, if it was Ahmed who was doing the shooting, it would have been Muslim. Mm-hmm. So this is, why is this deliberate? What is this? Why is it when it's a Muslim doing a crime, if he's mentally ill, that's not taken into considerations. If he's somebody who's not even Muslim, just associated, not even practicing, whatever the case, his religion gets put in the spotlight. But here, the hero, they even try to make it seem like he wasn't Muslim, mm-hmm. change the whole narrative. What's going on?
I mean, the root cause is what's the purpose of the communication? what you're going to do, how you're going to portray whom, right? We're going to call, obviously, anti-Semitic crime of the worst order of what we witnessed that day. And we, as Muslims, call it how it is, right? We have no problem saying that was an anti-Semitic crime of the worst kind, killing innocent people.
We have no problem condemning evil actions.
Of course not. Because what happened is that the problem has become when our religions have become politicized by people that don't even practice our religions. And I mean our religions, talking more about the three Abrahamic religions, right? Judaism suddenly criticizing the state of Israel has something to do with anti-Semitism. So the religion is brought to the political discourse to the detriment of those practitioners of the religion, that Judaism deserves the utmost protection, that we should all stand against any minimal act of anti-Semitism. But why conflate anti-Semitism with the policies of the state of Israel? It has nothing to do with religion. Same Muslims that misuse perhaps Quranic verses to try to justify an act that is not a merciful act. If we all understand the principle that nothing that is not pure good, nothing that is pure mercy can come from the religions of Abraham other than the same principle, like he said, the universal principle of love others as you love yourself, right? So why do you use religion then to provoke divisions when killing is wrong for a Jewish, a Christian, and a Muslim?
Yes.
Stealing is wrong for a Christian, a Jewish, and a Muslim.
Yes.
Adultery is wrong for a Christian, yes, Jewish, and Muslims. Not honoring your parents is bad for Christians, Jewish, and Muslims.
Yes.
So we have a unanimous consensus as to the ethics of how to live in this world. And now, why do you want to portray any of those practitioners of the three Abrahamic religions as being tolerant to an unmerciful act? Why do you want to portray them? If all the three religions come from Abraham, nothing but mercy is what we all call for. So say, oh no, Jews are not merciful, or Muslims are not merciful, or Christians are not merciful. By definition, you are attacking the religion of a practitioner, because all that comes from Judaism, Christianity, and Islam comes from Allah. People might deviate their practices as we believe, but all came from Allah. Nothing that came from Allah could be just, only can be merciful. Mm-hmm. By definition. So if you're a good Jew, you are the best of our society. If you're a good Christian and a practicing Christian, you're the best of our society. And the same goes with a practicing Muslim, is the best of society.
So everything originally you're saying comes from the Creator. And then
course.
How human beings go and distort things and change things.
Exactly. And then you try to create divisions as to who sympathizes more for crimes. None sympathizes for any crime. None. Jews, a true practitioner, a Jew that truly practices Judaism will have no problem condemning the killing of 20,000 children in Gaza. A Christian who practices Christianity have no problem condemning the state of Israel for killing 20,000 children in Gaza. And obviously the Muslims as well. As a matter of fact, Jews, Christians, and Muslims all have been murdered in Gaza. None of us can approve that. If you're a true practicing Jew, you find there's no justification to kill 20,000 innocent souls. Mm-hmm. No justification on earth. Same for a Christian. Why, if you're a true practicing Jew, do you have a problem condemning that? or if you're a practicing Christian, why do you have a problem condemning that? And what is worse, why if you stand for that, you criminalize me and Omar because we're standing for the principle of life, for the principle of peace.
Principle of life, yeah. Let's go ahead and play this next clip here and get you, because it goes into what we're discussing.
There's a slight amplification of, for example, the number of Muslims in the country.
There
are nearly 4 million Muslims in the country. And that represents about 6% of the population. But 43 or 4% of the population are still Christian. So I do think, again, that the over-amplification of the Islam problem, as people put it, or the, you know, the Muslim problem, has been massively overstated.
Well, that's an op, obviously.
Yeah.
Hate the Muslims. No, we know where that's coming from, obviously.
I don't like it.
I hate it.
In my high street alone, in West London, most of the businesses would have Muslim employees there. Or people.
But also, is hate the Muslims better than hate the Christians or hate the Jews?
It's
the same.
And I've heard you say, and this is the point I come from, hatred is hatred is hatred.
I totally agree.
It doesn't matter who you're hating. The moment you're in the hate game, then I think you're losing whatever argument is you're trying to have.
I totally agree. But moving off from hate and getting back to the world I live in, which is fear and distrust and gut-level loathing,
yeah,
it's the secular people who are the problem. Mm. I've never had an argument with a Muslim, with an actual Muslim. I'm from Bangladesh. I'm a Muslim. We probably agree on a lot. It's the secular self-hating whites.
Tucker Carlson says something about it's an op. What do you think about that? And then also Piers Morgan talking about as soon as you get into the hate game and... What are your thoughts?
I wanted to replay that again because, I mean, it's following a narrative that we're seeing play everywhere, even online when, you know, they're making statements about Ahmed al-Ahmed, for example. People say, why do you have to say that he's Muslim? Doesn't everybody fight for humanity? And we shouldn't have to say that he's Muslim, but... We have to. We shouldn't have to, but we do, because on the other hand, if it's a non-Muslim, he's being identified by his mental state, not his faith. So we have to clarify and note that this person is a Muslim, because the shooter, being a Muslim, will identify him as a terrorist, and Muslims are going to identify him as a terrorist as well. When there's a non-Muslim shooter, we identify him as a terrorist, but the public is going to identify him as a lunatic. And so that's why we have to identify him as a Muslim, because it plays into this hate game that, which side are you on? You could see Piers Morgan, he couldn't even answer it. It's ingrained in his head that Muslims are the other. And Tucker Carlson, To the pastor's point, is that we're brothers and sisters in humanity under Abraham. So I think Tucker sees that. Pierce, I think he's one of those seculars that Tucker's talking about, and Pierce is just nodding his head. He's talking about Pierce.
I think, what are your thoughts, Pastor?
Yes, even people that do not adhere to a personal faith, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, or Judaism, they still, again, because I'm not familiar with any of these people, but just watching him now, a person still has an innate goodness in their heart, a morality to see what is right and what is wrong. And so regardless, the world has to put a label to point on a group of people, to point a finger, to say, it's them, and we give them a title, and we give them a name. So it's not us, it's them, it's those people. And that's totally 100% wrong, because evil is evil. It doesn't wear a nationality or a race.
Here, when I was hearing this, where Tucker Carlson's talking about it's an op. You know, they just had recently an article by independent journalist, investigative independent journalist Ryan Grimm.
So we have obtained quite an interesting document paid for by the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs and leaked to us. Effectively, what they recommend is ramping up Islamophobia.
Islam's only a problem for us because of Israel. Manipulate Americans to get them to hate and fear Muslims so that the U.S. government will have an easier time helping the Israelis murder Palestinians and steal their property. That's what it's all about.
Get Americans to hate all Muslims so that when Israel kills them and takes their land, you're going to say, well, I mean, what are you going to do?
He reports that Israel had hired one of the biggest marketing firms to try to fix what has happened with the reputation of everybody seeing what's happening in Gaza, and they pretty much report that in here, Ryan Grimm, he says that they told them that because the Foreign Ministry of Affairs who hired them said, look, it's pretty much you cannot repair this with all the footage that people have seen what's happened there, but you can distract. You can go ahead and fix. You can go ahead and distract people's attention and focus on other events. And what is that other event? That you have another enemy here. Islam is the enemy. Muslims are the enemy. So connecting it back to what Tucker's talking about, the op. Is this not that op that's happening?
If you go and examine you're a media professional, Eddie, every political cycle, as it approaches elections, you start witnessing more and more articles on people demonizing Islam, on the politicians bringing the word Muslim and Islam to their discourses. Even if they're inaugurating a park, they will finish, and I hate Muslims at the end. Just to bring the word Muslims and Islam, that's a homework to gather certain base that they have proven, that have been proven to them to be successful in their electoral process, to be identified, unfortunately, as conservative people. The conservative have always been in this country identified as those people who would like a smaller government. But now conservatives are identified those who attack Muslims the most, those who are intolerable to other religions other than Christianity or Christianity and Judaism, and they hate everybody else. So those new definitions are brought just solely for the political use and political discourse. Once the elections pass, everything smooths out. Now, the year of the midterms are coming, they're picking up on Muslims, especially when there's too much attention of this country of the war crimes committed by Israel in Gaza. That we don't want the people hearing news about the International Criminal Court proceedings against Netanyahu and the Minister of Defense. They don't want to hear about what's going on in any international forum condemning Israeli war crimes. They don't want to hear from Chef Jose Andres talking how Israel bombed the cooks that were cooking as guests, cooking for the victims of war. They want to silence the doctors that are witnesses before any forum of the war crimes committed in the hospitals or in the schools as they were bombed. They don't want to talk to the Christian communities in Gaza whose churches were all bombed. All churches in Gaza were bombed by Israel. They don't want to talk about it. Israel thought that not allowing media into the conflict will keep the eyes of the world off the conflict, and that did not happen. That's the card that they played that did not play well.
What's another distraction? It's not just international. They're hitting it domestically by calling social service groups, nonprofits, foreign terrorist organizations, just like CARE Florida. We believe that's one distraction to not only label Muslims what they aren't, but distract exactly from everything that's going on and to rile the base prior to elections, to rile that base of white supremacists.
Speaking of white supremacists, speaking of dividing, this is what we originally planned to talk about. And let's get into this video. I want to get your guys' reaction.
Prophet Muhammad. Yeah.
Here's your kryptonite, Muslims. Here is your kryptonite. We will drive you to the sea, across the sea, back to where you came from, with pigs in our hands and Jesus in our hearts. You cannot stand against the strength of white American men. You Muslims need to go home before we send you packing. I suggest you leave now before the Crusades really start. As it's well known, Vlad the Impaler only had to impale a few. The rest left by themselves. All right?
Okay, now I know as a Muslim, this doesn't represent Christianity, right? I know this is anti-Christian, and I know a lot of these people following him are, what do you call them, pastor? I mean, these are hillbilly rednecks. I don't know. I don't want to insult. I'm white too, right? I don't know. I mean, what do you call people? And he's got a crowd. He's got a following. We got a pastor, Bob, here. When you hear this.
Here's what I call them.
What?
Here's what I call them. Deceived.
Uh-huh.
Deceived. When he said, with Jesus in our hearts, inside, I'm doing somersaults. I'm like, seriously, bro? Because now, I don't know this man. Again, I don't follow politics. I choose to not follow politics. It's there. Sometimes you can't evade it. But if when Jesus, Yeshua, in the Hebrew vernacular, when Jesus is in the heart of man, woman, man, that scene would not have taken place. I'll tell you straight up. He would not have a pig in his hand. He would have a Bible in his hand. And he would not be talking against the Muslim people. He would be uniting and bringing forth the goodness of the Muslim people to the Christian people, and looking for the common denominator, the oneness and unity in the same God and the same spiritual. He was angry, so we could be angry towards the Muslims. No, that's taking scripture out of context and twisting it towards their own desires and their own mindset to gain a control and a power against a group of people that they are afraid of, ignorant of, do not understand, and what man is afraid of, they attack.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, beautifully put, and you said if these people didn't have Jesus in their hearts, they wouldn't be there. And if Jacob Lang didn't have a presidential pardon, he wouldn't have been there either. And that's the problem. They're emboldened by those in power.
Let me go ahead. Before, I want to get your guys, because he was actually here. He was here. We got here. I got here a little bit before you. You actually came, and we had a nice dialogue. And you actually got to sit and listen a little bit to what was going on. There was nobody testing someone's religion. If you're not Muslim, you cannot come in. So let's hear when he left, who he actually, he got to come in. He sat here for 20, 30 minutes. And then he left. He was greeted with respect. He then later someone figured out, man, that's the guy who, because he was dressed up impersonating the dress of an Indo-Pak Muslim. And then someone confronted him and said, why are you dressed like that? They just realized he's the guy who was terrorizing the people in Dearborn, Michigan. And then he was confronted. Then he did his whole spiel and he started to disrupt the event. And then they escorted. So one person asked, come on, leave. We don't need this stuff. We got a family event here. It's live streamed. But to my surprise, then he's going around. This is what he's telling his followers. And at the end, he's like, give me your money. Let's go ahead and play this.
I was there listening, like you tried to figure out what their ideology was. But they wouldn't even let me sit in there and listen. We unearthed this extremely violent culture that they have there, the Sharia law police and everything. And their mosques are military outposts. And that's what I learned there before I was violently, literally picked up and heaved out of there. He was actively recruiting military-aged men told them that when I was in prison, I didn't let them know about January 6th. I told them I had converted, and then I told them this to get in. This is the best you're going to hear. I told them I was Zoran Mandami's campaign, social media campaign manager.
There has been nothing but warmness, kindness. No one has ever been kicked out. Such lies about the Islam community. It's absolute lies.
He was lying the whole time. He lied about his name. He said he was Muslim for 1.5 years, that he was just coming as a Muslim to watch the lectures when he was actually a Christian the entire time.
He lied because I've been here the past 3 days and they're kind of doing different events, just educating people on Islam. I think we live, did we live stream?
It's like, live streamed also, yeah.
So anybody who doesn't know can look at the live streams and you'll kind of see what's going on.
Live streaming this yeah. is not a secret, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can watch it online, it's being live streamed.
Any Christian, any person of any other faith is more than welcome. The event is live streamed, they can always see everything that we're discussing, you know.
We want to protect the families that are here, this right. thing is being live streamed.
His first goal was to create trouble. But he was received with a lot of love.
Some of the nicest, warmest, kindest, friendliest people.
Look at the people that's here, you know. It's kids, women, children, everyone.
But how do you feel being around all these Muslims? Did you feel threatened?
I feel good.
Yeah?
I love them.
That was you, Pastor Ron.
Or my twin.
Yeah. Do you stand by that statement?
I stand and I sit. Yes, both. Yes.
What are your thoughts? Like, you hear what he's saying? He's out there now, like, he infiltrated. He came in. He said he's Zoran Mandani's campaign manager. Like, we didn't even have press pass or stage passes to get up. That's another lie, that we invited him to speak, that he was, you know, for, you know, at the end, jihadis came and, you know, they weren't allowing Christians in here, and we were recruiting military-age style men. The whole thing was live streamed. And just that point right there just, you know, destroys it, because anybody can see. And the theme was gratitude to God. It was Thanksgiving weekend. It's yes. gratitude to God. Everybody was welcome.
Because I was there.
You were there. The pastor was there. So what are your thoughts when you hear someone just lying like that blatantly?
It's a.
But then he asked for, in his other video, he's like, I need your help. And you see the con game? It's like, get the people scared, worried. I'm going to go ahead, be your hero, your leader, and I'll give me your money.
Mm-hmm. People like him, they need prayer. Straight up, 100%. Because they have a political agenda in their minds to rally people on their side. I'm watching him, and he's wearing a cross from his neck. Of course, even the Bible says don't have any graven images if you read the Old Testament and the commandments. But if he were to adhere to that cross, the real symbol of what it means, then we wouldn't see, none of these videos would even be a video. And he would never have deceived himself in the type of garment that you mentioned to come and to infiltrate and to sit in. So in other words, I'm going to try and be a Muslim. You saw right through him that he wasn't. I'm going to try and be a Christian because I'm wearing a cross. I see right through him because he isn't.
Wow.
So what else are you going to try? Well, let's try the political secular agenda that doesn't stand for any religion or and let's in other words, if a person can infiltrate the mind to deceive the heart, he's got them, mm. You know, and that's why personally. I don't like politics because it's always about power and control, whether it's this side, whether it's an elephant or a donkey, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever side you're on or in between, a liberal, do some people really want to honestly do good? Yes. But there's always some hidden agenda hiding underneath it all. The wickedness of man, as the Bible talks about, is rampant and prevalent, and it will never disappear. And that's why we need to follow a real God.
Yes. And really, the thing is that they not only misrepresent Muslims, they misrepresent the Christians themselves.
As the pastor's saying, yeah.
Yes.
And they misrepresent the relation, the actual relation that happens in every city, in every neighborhood between Muslims and Christians, when Muslim and Christian kids are studying together in the public schools. There's a Muslim teacher also teaching Christian students in public schools. You see, that mix and that day-to-day life where Muslim and Christians engage in respect to each other, with respect to each other, without any bad incident, that's what happened the vast majority of the time. They want to represent, there are some Muslims that we cannot engage with, when the reality is there are millions of interactions of Christians and Muslims daily throughout the whole nation. Look, when I went to the chaplain school, to the Navy chaplain school, we were sharing quarters, priests, Catholic priests, reverends, pastors, rabbis, people that practice Buddhism. And we were all a single team. We were all wearing our Navy uniform, the same uniform, perhaps with just a distinctive enough just to know he's a Christian chaplain or a Muslim chaplain. And we serve all the troops. Christian chaplains serve Muslims. Muslim chaplains serve Jews and serve Christians. We are there to serve the troops, to bring a respected, honorable space for each of the troops to practice their spirituality, whatever spirituality they want to practice. That's what we are enablers of providing a space that is protected so that our own troops can worship as they wish. So that's the true America. Why don't they, if they're so patriots, portray how this the military deal with the different religions within the military? Same happens in the university systems. There's no problem with the students praying here in Tampa during Fajr, during the morning prayer. Someone needed to come from Texas to Florida to commit a hate crime, almost stepping in the heads of some students that were praying and worshiping in peace. That will that someone has to have to travel interstate to disrupt a prayer to God should be the only judgment any American needs to see of that, to define who that individual is and if that individual is of any good to society or he comes perhaps to disrupt what is already existing. What I'm trying to convey is that in America, from Alaska to the American territories in Puerto Rico, what we see is Christian and Muslims getting together, fine, employing each other, buying from each other, educating from each other. That's what we see, communities thriving. We have more Islamic centers in Florida. We're the third or fourth state with more than 200 Islamic centers just in the state of Florida. More than 500,000 Muslims in Florida. More Muslims elected to elected positions throughout the United States than ever in the history of the United States. And that discourse being brought again, replayed after this nation have suffered many instances of the worst of humanity, just to replay that message of, oh, Muslims are coming for no good. You know, the Mormons ended up in Utah because they were discriminated all over the nation, and they needed to go to this, back then, inhospitable place almost, to worship in peace. Now they thrive throughout the whole nation and throughout the world. But this nation, there was a time that they did not allow Catholics to build churches in New York. All practitioners are victims of people playing politics with them, all worshipers of all religions. Religions have gone to the Supreme Court like the Jehovah's Witnesses because people don't like Jehovah's Witnesses. And they think they can shut down their practice. Fortunately, we have tools in place to protect us worshipers from those disruptions that are illegal and unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are, especially in care, that we do. Mm-hmm. We go to those places, it being the courts or being the academia, where people want to disrupt the sacred right of people to worship in peace and freely. Mm-hmm. That we started doing from the day one of our inception as a civil rights organization, and that's the very nature of who we are.
You guys, as leading attorneys, you guys understand the power of words. We do have freedom of speech, you understand that, but the hypocrisy sometimes is just, it blows your mind, because there have been people on the other side who are connected to being Muslim somehow, and there's some things that they said, and that's got them in jail, right?
Right.
So what is this? I mean, how do you take this, these words from this this Jacob, yeah, I call him the liar Lang, anti-Christian, as the pastor said, and we pray that God guides him. This is somebody who's obviously misguided, but he says here in that opening video, we'll drive you, meaning the Muslims, to the sea where you came from, with pigs in our hands and Jesus in our hearts. You Muslims need to go home before we send you packing. I suggest you leave before the Crusades really start. So imagine that. It's like, and then he mentioned Vlad the Impaler. You guys know who Vlad the Impaler is, right? Vlad the Impaler is the one from what is it, medieval Europe, that he actually impaled. He killed the Muslims and he stuck the stake between their rear all the way through their mouths. He said, and that was enough for just a few of those to get them running. I mean, what kind? Imagine if somebody was a Muslim now and saying something similar to this. What would happen to that person? And imagine if somebody was standing in front of a synagogue with, now he can't stand with the Talmud, all of it, but let's say abbreviated something connected to the Talmud, a religious Jewish text in a pig's mouth, because Jews also eat kosher, halal, and now he's in front of a synagogue, imagine, with a pig and a religious Jewish text, and he's saying something about, we're going to do like Hitler did to you guys. What would happen to this man?
The FBI would be visiting him, and I, once again, the pastor put it in a way that I can't put it any better, that he needs prayer, but Jacob Lang is the female version of Laura Loomer. He gets more views by being more vile. And so that's what he's doing here. We see it constantly. And there's always this pork theme that it's so, you know, misunderstood by people. He said it's your kryptonite. We just don't eat it. But it's anywhere from what he's doing. It's what the people in Tampa did when they were interrupting prayer by waving bacon. I mean, that's not an intention to educate anything about Christianity. It's just an intention to be vile. Yesterday, our office received in the mail a package with ripped out pages from the Quran, verses of the Bible, wrapped in a piece of bacon. So, I mean,
That blows my mind, because, Pastor, please tell me, I mean, Jesus ate kosher, right? Even in Leviticus, you have pork is forbidden. Jews don't eat, as Jesus didn't eat pork. So what's this whole thing like? Now, we're just following the permissive, halal is same thing as kosher, pretty much, same thing. So now they're using this as kryptonite, like he said, to scare us away, like we're going to run. But Jesus, he didn't eat pork, did he?
No, he didn't eat pork.
And from a biblical standpoint, when you read Leviticus 11, 7 through 8, here's what it says. And the pig, because it parts the hoof and is cloven footed, but does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you. You shall not eat any of their flesh. and you shall not touch their carcasses, for they are unclean.
No, he didn't eat pork. I know in the New Testament there's some differences that he allowed later on for spiritual purposes. Yes, he still knew it was unclean. He knew it was unclean, but he did talk about to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, that the intentions and the heart is more wicked. It is more what comes out of a man than what goes in. And he was making a statement. It doesn't mean he changed his dietary law, but he was making a spiritual statement based on the spiritual change from a natural and then ultimately a spiritual change of a person. Because, see, there's always, if you look at it first, the Old Testament is natural first, and the New Testament in the Bible is spiritual second. It's a spiritual change or a born-again experience. And I just want to really quickly, and I'm not preaching, but just to say that the spiritual change is based on man separated from God, Allah, and there's a wickedness in their heart, and there needs to be a spiritual change to bring him back to the Father. And Jesus was the key element in that. So he was using the food analogy to show the wickedness of the heart of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, because they had prejudice and judgmentalism in their minds against and hearts against people. And so he was basically saying, it's inside you that's more wicked and unclean than what goes in you. He's making a spiritual truth analogy.
Hmm. Let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come up and wrap up with a few more questions. We'll be right back. Say he is Allah, God, the one and only, the absolute, the eternal. He is not the father of anyone, nor was he father, and there is nothing comparable to him.
Islam is about granting the rights to everybody, irrespective of their religion.
This is the book of guidance, sure without doubt, for those who fear Allah.
That the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the worst of matters are new practices in the deen. Every new practice is an innovation. Every innovation is in the hellfire.
The greatest miracle is the preservation of the Quran that has not changed in over 1400 years.
Justice doesn't belong solely to the Muslims alone. It also belongs to the Jews and the Christians.
Your purpose of life is all of that exists. Who brought it here? And how do you acknowledge the one that it brought it, that has given it to you? That's the purpose of life.
Islam has changed, William, in the most amazing ways. Most amazing ways. I'm devastated by what I've seen here. I'm absolutely devastated. And thank you for hosting this. Thank you for doing this.
They're just looking for a reaction. They're looking for trouble. We're here to educate humanity. And you see, brothers and sisters, what we're up against. But alhamdulillah, we're going to continue striving to get the Dawah Center, the educational center, open so we can go ahead and educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life. We need your support right now. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, back here on the Dean Show, we got a full panel, full house, and we got a new addition here. How are you, brother? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
You were at the event also.
I was, yes, I was.
Yeah, can you tell us, after hearing what this this person who claims to be Christian, Jason or Jake, Jacob, I'm calling him the liar, Ling. what are your thoughts?
Well, alhamdulillah, it was a beautiful event. As you mentioned, it was gratitude. It was Thanksgiving weekend. We had spent time with Sheikh Uthman, and my dad was here. I got to have one-on-one time with you and Sheikh Uthman. We gave him shawarma, which I think you liked, right? Yeah.
Delicious.
So whatever he was saying as far as violent, we saw women and children, families enjoying the time together. There were vendors, people outside, you know, had all kinds of, you know.
Did they have security checking IDs to see
no.
if you're Muslim?
No.
A Muslim, was, Muslim pass?
You there, there was no security checking anything. I sat and what my imam, Sheikh Saad, spoke. He was a presenter on the panel. it was all about gratitude.
But he said they were recruiting military-age men.
There was nothing of that. Nothing of that. I mean, it was nothing political. Nothing. Again, this is just like the brothers were saying. It's all about clicks. It's all about likes. It's all about driving this narrative where we're different. And as you could see in today's show, you have a panel with two brothers that are Muslim. You have a Christian. And everyone's here civil. Everyone, there's a lot of points they agree on. There's a brotherhood. There's nothing, there's no animosity between. I was Christian my entire life, and I reverted to Islam, alhamdulillah, in August of 2024, and I've experienced nothing but kindness. The first time I walked into a masjid, I went for information. Nobody discriminated against me. They just, obviously, you could see I was a little different. I'm a revert, so I cover my tattoos, but they realized you're probably.
But he
not
wants
Muslim.
You to go somewhere also. He wants you to get out of
America. Yeah, he wants me to go, I guess, go back to New York. I mean, I don't know where he wants me to go.
Yeah. Where does he want you to go also?
Puerto Rico.
You are bad. That's a part of America too, right?
Yeah. These are people that some of them have not even been a Boy Scout, and they want to show lessons of patriotism. So people who have not served in the army and our armed forces, people who have done very little for this nation, portraying themselves. If I'm the big patriot because I'm saying that I hate non-whites, because I'm saying that America is, I'm carrying an American flag, and see, I'm white. Mm-hmm. That's their discourse. I'm white, non-whites are no good, and I have an American flag. I'm a patriot. What a disservice to this nation these people present. They are the lowest of what America truly represents, a nation that was precisely created out of people wanting to practice freedom of worship. They risked their lives, and they crossed an ocean and came here and established this nation and established its constitution, establishing very from the very early get-go, we will practice our religion the way we wish, not the way the kings tell us to practice our religion.
That's where I want to finish off, just touching upon this, because when I opened up, I said not only is he and the people that follow him anti-Christian, and they're not really following the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love and revere, but they're also anti-constitution, because if you look at what the founding fathers of this country who built it, one thing that you just mentioned, they actually fled this type of persecution from people like this, actually. And there's a statement, there's many, but one in 1790, Benjamin Franklin, who says, if the Mufti of Constantinople were to send his missionaries, someone from that religion, to preach, they call it Mohammedism or Islam, basically, to us, he would find a pulpit here in his service. I don't know if you heard this statement. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting that you also. So what do you when people like this try to also, they also try to twist and use the Bible, but at the same time they try to on the backs and also try to use as justification the founding fathers, like they would have been marching with them, they would have been rolling over there. What do you say about that? You know about constitutional law and constitution, and
I mean, I might not agree with what you're saying, but I'll defend your right to say it. And there are a lot of people, a lot of Muslim haters actually, who are against silencing speech. Mm-hmm. Even, for example, this latest executive order by
not our enemies, the Jews are not our enemies.
They're perpetuating and pushing out.
I will end with a call to all people that want to live their spirituality freely. Do not allow politics to step into your spiritual life. If you're a Jew, keep Judaism and protect it from that contamination of politics being misused. And your religion being misused to protect crimes. Same with Christians. Don't allow a space for people who do not represent the life of Jesus, peace be upon him, be those that are the most vocals on your religion. And the same with Muslims. Just be capable of
protecting others in their practice of religion as you wish to be protected as well. That will be it, right? Let's protect each other's right to worship, because it transcends our own belief.
Thank you, Omar.
I would say to the people who just want to attack with no reason, don't hide behind religion to do it. Get to know yourself, because I don't think those people know themselves, and then get to know a Muslim.
Yeah, there's a difference between asking to learn and then asking to insult. So we welcome questions. That's what we're going to have this educational center here, where people can sincerely come and ask questions and they can learn.
You either love it or you hate it. And mashallah, there's so many people. I love it. Some people don't like it. I love it. And inshallah, more and more we'll get to know and love it. And that's real.
I want to thank you both. Thank you. Thank all of you guys for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
It's shocking. He's a liar. He's absolutely lying. He's lying about everything.
He says he snuck in. He infiltrated the jihadists at a local mosque in Tampa. Video to come.
Tampa Bay Islam event. Going undercover. Pray for me.
So I made myself inside here, and
a pastor who served in ministry, how did you feel going to the Dean Center?
Some of the nicest, warmest, kindest, friendliest people. Honest, sincere.
He was lying the whole time. He lied about his name. He said he was Muslim for 1.5 years, that he was just coming as a Muslim to watch the lectures.
This is a warning to every mosque and Muslim community in Florida and America. Beware.
The Muslim community, we don't want you in our country. We don't want you here. Respectfully, get the f*** out of my country.
A man named Jacob Jake Lang, a Senate candidate in Florida. A man who went to jail for beating up police officers who Trump pardoned and is now making Trump look really bad. He went from disturbing the peace in Dearborn, Michigan, and now doing the same thing in Florida. He entered a peaceful Muslim family event, disguising himself. We're there, including Pastor Bob, a Christian pastor.
I'm laughing, like, uncomfortable. I felt like I was in a den of cats.
This former prisoner lied about who he was, disrupted the event, and then went online spreading lies and asking for your money. As you'll hear from the many witnesses who were there.
I'm shocked. I'm saddened, because this is showing such lies about the Islam community.
Claiming he was attacked and asking for your money in the end to spread his hate. This family event with children was live streamed. Everyone can watch it and see that his claims are completely false. Today, we are exposing him as the liar he is and warning the community all over America, especially in Florida, about this dangerous behavior. In this video, you will hear from multiple eyewitnesses, including Christians who attended the event, and even Pastor Bob.
And I put my arm around him. You know, brothers.
Yes, a Christian pastor was there. A Christian pastor who was welcomed with love, kindness, and had a wonderful experience. Their testimony completely contradicts Jacob Lang's manufactured story. So who will you believe? The live stream and the Christian witnesses, the attending good-hearted American, be it a Muslim, Christian, Jewish, people of other faiths, and people with no faith. See what this Senate candidate is doing, this former cop beating prisoner. Will you remain silent, or will you speak out against this disgusting attempt to divide America, to divide our communities?
You just read the former prisoner who got out after the J6, and he came here, and you just read Jacob Lang's a message on social media. What are your thoughts?
It's shocking. He's a liar. He's absolutely lying. He's lying about everything. I have been here for all the days with this event going on. There has been nothing but warmness, kindness. No one has ever been kicked out. I've been welcomed, and I'm a Christian, right, Mohammed? And I'm shocked. I'm saddened, because this is showing such lies about the Islam community. It's absolute lies. And I have a grandson who has converted. It has changed his life for the better. He is a he's 20. I still call him a kid. He's a great kid. He's trying to welcome others into Islam to show it's a peaceful, loving nation. And in fact, I spoke with Muhammad today. I might be converting in the next day or so. Myself.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing news.
He's a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing, bro? You know.
So tell me. So I just got surprised again. We had another unexpected visitor, and the guy Jacob. We talked about this on my program. That agent provocateur going to Dearborn, putting the Quran, trying to burn it. Pork on a bone. Even though pork is prohibited in the Bible.
It's one of the top sources of toxoplasmosis.
Another discussion. But look at the deception. Like, the guy comes in faking he's Muslim. What happened? He put on a robe, a hat, trespass. What happened?
Yeah, no, he was coming in. I asked him a few questions, and the brother said, hey, man, you know what? If he's a Muslim, he's trying to learn, more than welcome. So we got him in there. He sat
even
there.
If he's not anybody's welcome.
Anybody's welcome. So we said, you know what? More than welcome to come in. But when he sat down and he learned, and the lecture was about gratitude.
That's the whole theme. That's the interesting thing. This is the whole theme, and it's being live streamed. Okay, it's live streamed. You can see this online as it's going on. So the whole convention, the whole 3 days is about gratitude to who? To the creator of the heavens and earth. So what happened?
So I think he got bored after the first lecture, but he actually learned a lot about gratitude.
How long was he there sitting?
He was there for at least like another 20, 30 minutes.
That's Jacob Lang.
And he learned, you know what? He learned and he actually accepted it. Maybe he's not going to post it on his video, but he said, hey, so yeah, it was a good lecture.
What did you say to him?
I said, hey, I'm glad you learned something about gratitude, you know? Uh-huh. So that's something he learned because he was expecting something else. Yeah. But I said, hey, whatever you're expecting, it's not what you're going to find over here.
They were expecting some, like, Sharia takeover, you know, Muslims making a plot and plan to take over America, Muslim boogeyman, Sharia, and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but he didn't find what he wanted. He just walked out.
Did he tell you why did he try to blend in?
Yeah, one of the brothers really asked a good question. He said, hey, are you cosplaying a Muslim right now?
Yeah.
Are you cross-playing a Muslim?
Cosplaying a Muslim.
He was blending in.
Blending in. I said, hey, you don't really have to do that to come into a mosque. You can just say, hey, I don't know anything about Islam. I want to learn. Come on in. You're more than welcome. You can have some halal food, you know? He's got some good tasting food over here. Enjoy yourself.
Come on, Jacob. Why are you doing that, man? Being all mischievous and stuff. Imagine now if you did this to a synagogue. Imagine now he did that. He's actually Jewish, but imagine we would never disrespect the Jewish people like that to go into the synagogue and try and, you know, dress like a Jew with a big hat.
He was lying the whole time. He lied about his name. He said he was Muslim for 1.5 years, that he was just coming as a Muslim to watch the lectures when he was actually a Christian the entire time. So it's interesting to see how Christians, they always lie and say these types of things when you would never see a Muslim do the same thing. You would never see a Muslim come and go to a church and lie and say that they're a Christian just to infiltrate and spread hate.
This guy was doing taqiyya, okay? Even though this is not in Quran or Sunnah, all right? We don't lie like this and deceive. And they accuse Muslims of doing taqiyya. Have you heard of this term taqiyya?
Only for Shias, not for Sunni Muslims, not for us.
Exactly, right? Because we know, that's another topic about truthfulness and being honest. And one of the despised characteristics that God hates is a liar. You just come in, and even your Bible, your own Bible tells you not to lie. So we got a witness here that this Jacob Lang, this former prisoner that Trump let out, and he's disrespecting Trump now also. And this is like someone Trump signed for you to come out. And look what you're doing. You're giving Trump a bad name because now he vouched for you. And go ahead, finish your story.
No, it was just very, very like disturbing to see how dishonest he was being the entire time. If he would have came as saying, I'm a Christian and I want to learn, nothing would have happened. He would have just came and sat down and been the same thing. We would have let him, but the fact that he had to lie and dress as a Muslim, he bought clothes to look like a Muslim. It was just very, you know, I didn't like it at all.
Complete deception. And we don't blame Christianity for this, right? This is somebody who's faking, like he's a, many are calling him out as a fake Christian.
It suits you. Hey, by the way, being Muslim will probably suit you.
And
you
actually
know?
That thobe, look, no, I'm not wearing a thobe. You're not wearing a thobe.
No.
Actually, look, he's not wearing a thobe, right? That's not like, that's, you know, imitating actually Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount. Have you seen a picture of Jesus?
Correct.
He's wearing a thobe.
Yeah. It's just a representation of the manners of the Muslims compared to, you know, like what's even supposed to be, like, that's not the manners of a Christian. That's not the manners of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. You know, if you're going to be a Christian, you should, you know, reflect what Jesus Christ taught you.
I mean,
were you there? Did you see what happened with this Jacob Lane who came in?
Yeah, I mean, I never heard of the dude. His acting was pretty terrible, so it was kind of obvious from the get-go. He was hesitating when brother was giving the khutbah. He was hesitating, you know, didn't have enough courage. You know, he kept pulling out his phone. He was nervous, like, can I use the bathroom? Comes out, just waits till the very end just to do that, I guess.
What do you do at the end?
Alhamdulillah. He was recording saying, you know, that Islam is taking over. Islamification, and that it's a white Christian country, whatever that means. I don't know, I guess according to him, but alhamdulillah.
Jake is a white male, 5'10". He was wearing a beige tunic with khaki pants, and he posed as a Muslim brother. So he was welcome in the conference room. He listened to the lecture, and right after that, he decided to act a little bit belligerent and defiant, because for him, it was his first goal was to create trouble. But he was received with a lot of love. He was escorted out peacefully, and he started saying stuff that are not really pleasant that I will not repeat here for the sake of moral and the Muslim values. And we were able to make him understand that we're not going to basically indulge into violence with him. He was met with words of love and basically wisdom from the Quran, and I believe he wasn't really quite happy about it. He said a bunch of stuff saying that he hates Muslim and Muslims shouldn't be here and all that, but we made him understand that that's his view. He's entitled to it, and we're not going to be against him, but we're going to show him that it's more about the love that we are to show him according to the Muslim values. And it was a good day because we were able to show somebody that with love, we can solve everything. That's pretty much what happened.
I like what you said, that when you show what you, when you show someone love,
someone love, when you show, when you show when you show a full love, he gets confused because he doesn't know what it is. So it will be good for them to understand what love is about and how it can change their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting? He could have just came in and said, look, I'm Christian. I want to learn about Islam. I want to see what you... We're live streaming this. This is not a secret, you know?
Yeah.
So you can watch it online. It's being live streamed.
Yeah.
But if you just come in, that's why we're actually making this facility. It's an educational center to help educate Jews, Christians, not yet Muslims out there about this way of life, this beautiful way of life.
Yeah, but you know, when you're doing something and you know it's the right thing, you will always have enemies. The key point, whether you're Muslim or whatever you are, just keep sharing love. And this is what we saw here. Everybody can have their misconception about Islam or anything, but at the end of the day, you see that love prevails, and this is what we saw here. You know, me personally, that's what I saw, and I'm convinced that he's thinking about it, and we'll pray that one day he understands. You know?
No, you're fine, you're fine. Since in Islam, we believe in one God. We don't worship idols. We don't worship people. We love Jesus. We love Moses. We love Abraham. We love Muhammad. We believe they're all prophets of God. We believe that that one true God that Jesus worshipped is the same one true God we worship.
Islam has changed, William, in the most amazing ways. Most amazing ways. I'm devastated by what I've seen here. I'm absolutely devastated. And thank you for hosting this. Thank you for doing this.
They're just looking for a reaction. They're looking for trouble. We're here to educate humanity. And you see, brothers and sisters, what we're up against. But alhamdulillah, we're going to continue striving to get the Dawah Center, the educational center, open so we can go ahead and educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life. We need your support right now. Assalamu alaikum.